This is the corner in Tottenham where Carpetright and the flats above it once stood. I will never forget standing here the following day. You could still feel the heat from the fire burning at your face. The smoke clawed at your throat and rivers of soggy soot poured down the drains for days afterwards, actually. And there was just that horrifying truth that the people who'd caused this were the victim's neighbours.
Well, right now, my house is on fire, my neighbour's house is on fire. It's absolutely bedlam on the streets.
Scared to death, absolutely frightened. I can't even describe it. I'm just shaking all the way through.
Completely catastrophic. The building is completely trashed.
When I see my house as a shell, it just simply because all Saturday I have a freezer full of food, all my neighbours have, everything has gone.
It really was terrible. But it didn't take long until the kinder side of humanity kicked in and places like here, Tottenham's leisure centre, reopened as a donation and refuge hub. Victoria's programme visited and she met Lance Chinnean, whose flat had also been destroyed.
I just grabbed literally what I thought I needed immediately, mobile phone, keys, bank card, travel card, came out. Sort of what you see me standing in now is basically all of my possessions. That's all I've got, everything
else.
Which
is an overcoat, a pink, a very nice pink shirt, a blue check tie, some smart trousers and your black shoes and a rucksack, yeah. And that's it?
Yeah, that's it, basically.
Goodness me. Yeah. Are you still in shock, do you think?
I think I am. I've just been down to have a look at the building again, and obviously it's being demolished now. It's like something out of the Blitz or something. I find it incredible that that kind of destructive power is kind of within people living in our community. You know, it's one thing if we're being bombed by like a country we're at war with, but these are people sort of we're living with.
Let's walk indoors, Lance. It's like a big changing room that you get alongside your swimming baths, your local swimming baths, and it's full of tables and it's piled high with toothpaste, deodorant, body lotion, face cloths, tea towels, clothes.
I'm overwhelmed by
Hey, I don't blame you. I really don't blame you. But there's... I don't know if this is any consolation, but you can see, Lance, that a lot of people want to help people like you.
Yeah.
Lance, it's over 2 years. How do you feel listening back to that?
It's kind of weird. I'm a bit surprised I was so calm about things. I know I sort of got a bit teary at the end, which isn't normally like me, but it is, it's just always weird listening back to things, especially when it's something to do with, like, you know, losing your home and things. We just didn't really know what had hit us, and, you know, probably didn't really understand or grasp the full extent of what had happened and, you know, the situation we were facing.
2 years on, it's taken you 2 years, but we are outside a lovely new flat. I think you've just bought this, have you?
Yeah, I have, that's right.
Luckily, shall we go in and have a look?
Yeah, definitely, come in.
Opening. Nice brand new shiny flat.
Yeah, I mean, in the immediate aftermath after the riots, we all got put into like a hotel and things, and I mean, that sounds quite glamorous. It really wasn't. Then I got moved into like a temporary flat, but I mean, I've rented all my life, and I just thought, you know what, I don't know if I can just rent for the 2 years while they're going to rebuild that building. So when we got the opportunity to try and buy somewhere else to almost replace the homes we'd lost, I jumped at it. And to me, it was just the flat was just really nice, just a nice size flat. And I thought, you know what, just do it. And then you can just start getting on with your life.
Did you really feel your life was on hold for those 2 years?
Before I moved in here, it really was on hold. Because I said I moved into one hotel, then about a month later I had to go move to another hotel, and even though obviously I didn't have lots of things to carry with me, it was just very unsettling. And I remember at one point actually when I got told I had to move out of one hotel and move into the next hotel, the checkout time for the hotel I was leaving was I think at 11, and I could only check into the new hotel at something like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and it's only a few hours. But I just remember thinking, like, what do I do, where do I go during this time? And just for those few hours I just thought, I haven't got anywhere to stay.
It's true your flat is short on personal possessions, of course. Yeah. I mean, do you still think, oh, I have this, or no, I haven't got it anymore?
Totally. Every day there is some kind of reminder, because I'll think, oh, you know what, I really want to listen to that CD or read that book or watch that film, and then I just suddenly realise, oh, yeah, OK, I don't have those things. But But I mean, the other part of me thinks, you know, at the end of the day, those are all bits of, you know, paper, wood, plastic, metal, whatever. You know, at least nobody was injured in that fire, nobody died.
When you hear, for example, the mayor of Haringey saying, to some extent, Tottenham has benefited from the riots, and by that she means more money has come into Tottenham, how does that make you feel, who lost everything?
I didn't actually hear her comments, I've just read the headlines about it, and I think she sort of issued a clarification or a retraction, but I mean, I think it is true that we wouldn't be getting this level of investment and regeneration in Tottenham if it hadn't have been for the riots. And most of me thinks, you know, if any good can come out of that situation, brilliant, you know, that's great news. But I just think you shouldn't forget that, you know, certainly in terms of where I lived, there were close to 30 families living there who were all, you know, really badly affected by the events of that night.
What about just building up your life again? I mean, we've got, you see your furniture, you've even got a tag still on your chairs, I see. A brand new tag on your chairs. But that must have been expensive and difficult for you, because all these things you don't get help with, presumably.
Yeah, well, I think most of us in those flats weren't insured for contents insurance. And I only ever... I mean, I wasn't insured, and I always thought if anything's going to happen, it'll be like a burglary, and they can't take the big things like the bed or the washing machine. So I never really bothered with it. But we did get some compensation payout from the police. And basically, I've used some of that as a deposit on the flat, and then I used the rest of it to just buy things. And I'm just going to hopefully keep it quite simple. I don't think there's any need to just fill the place up with clutter. So I think it's really easy to do. You know, you just buy stuff willy-nilly, whereas I think now I'm a bit more selective in, you know, whether I actually need something or not.
So. Is this a new chapter?
I'd like to think so. I think it probably is for most people. I think, you know, I think once you're into like either a new home or, you know, for those residents who are going to move back, I think once they eventually do move back, I think you can draw a line under what's happened and start to look forward a bit more.